you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Some days you're the windshield, and some days you're the bug. Tuesday night, Houston was the bug. But by late Wednesday night, the Astros were the champs. Just what this city needed after Hurricane Harvey, don't you agree? 50-plus years in the making. And I'm going to admit it, I cried. No regrets either. I immediately thought of my father-in-law, J.W. Webb. He was a minor leaguer back in his younger days. He was also a huge Astros fan. He would have absolutely loved this. It was a phenomenal World Series. More ups and downs than an Otis elevator. Streaky hitting, leaky pitching, both sides. But ultimately for the Dodgers, Halloween came one day late, and their dream season turned into a nightmare. And it couldn't have happened to a better franchise, could it? I mean, those of us who've been rooting for the Astros for decades, we can all remember all those years we hated the Dodgers so much because they always stood in the way of the Astros. But now the Dodgers have been vanquished on the biggest stage of all. Stop and think about it, and this is the last thing I'll say about the World Series. In winning this championship, the Astros beat three of the most storied and respected franchises in the history of baseball: the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. So, now that World Series history has been earned, let's turn our attention to today, this week. Heck, the whole month. November is only a few days old, but there are so many observances this month that are built around food. Might be the holidays, but it's perfect for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. One of the earliest observances is November 2nd, which is National Men Make Dinner Day. Oh, darn the luck. That was day before yesterday, so I guess we're too late, huh? November is also World Vegan Month. Who the heck cares? This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Around here, we eat meat. Oh, we eat lots of vegetables, too. I personally love veggies off an outdoor grill, but we believe in the adage, vegetarian is an old Indian word for really bad hunter. Besides, if God had wanted us to be vegans, he would have made broccoli move so it would be more fun to shoot at, right? But on the more serious side, November is National Roasting Month, National Pepper Month, and Eat Smart Month. I always thought if you eat three times a day, that means you're eating smart, so anyway, there's got to be a whole hour's worth of stuff to talk about in there somewhere, don't you think? November is also National Georgia Pecan Month. Georgia? Nuts to Georgia. Actually, I've done a whole lot of research on pecans, and no, that doesn't mean I just ate a whole pecan pie. You might be very surprised what I found out, but we'll explain all of that when we do the topic later on this month. Or as Ted Kennedy used to say, I'll drive off that bridge when I get there. There are several other observances we might explore during the month of November. National Peanut Butter Month. That subject seems a little sticky. Ah, see what I did there? Okay, never mind. And then there's National Pomegranate Month, National Raisin Bread Month, Sweet Potato Awareness Month. Though I must admit, I've been perfectly aware of sweet potatoes ever since I had the first slice of sweet potato pie at my grandma's house on Thanksgiving Day. But there's one of those observances that's especially interesting to us here at the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. That's National Roasting Month. So look for an entire episode dedicated to roasting techniques, again, sometime later this month. However, this first installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show in the month of November is going to center on the observance we celebrate today, which is National Bison Day. Actually, there's no annual official National Bison Day per se, even though several bills have been introduced in Congress to establish one. But it seems that every year, a congressman from bison country is forced to get a one-off bill passed to declare this day, November 4th, as National Bison Day for that year, and that year only. Usually, these are members of Congress who come from places like Wyoming or Idaho, and the bill gets broad bipartisan support from both sides of the aisle, but for some reason they just can't seem to get a National Bison Day set up permanently. And it's not because it's controversial either. There are organizations as diverse as the Wildlife Conservation Society to the National Bison Association. They represent bison ranchers. Even the Intertribal Buffalo Council, that's Native Americans, they all support the effort, so it's not political in any way. For instance, the Wildlife Conservation Society says, National Bison Day is a chance to celebrate the ways in which bison represent our national identity, our history, and our culture. The bison is, blah, 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 blah. So even ecologists recognize bison is an American icon. But bison are not exclusive to North America. There are two existing species of bison and six extinct species in the world, and five of the six species that no longer exist, they actually disappeared during what's called the Quaternary Extinction Event. That occurred 130,000 years ago. So the eco-freaks can't blame that one on the hunters. Experts say that the extinctions were probably caused by natural climate change. Wow, imagine that. The climate changed all by itself, without the words man-made in front of it. Don't get me started. Anyway, the more numerous of the two surviving species of bison is found in, yep, that's right, North America. But there is a species of bison also located in Europe, but they had to be reintroduced after being extinct in the wild. Of course, we always hear a lot of frantic, irrational stories about how entire species of animals have been completely wiped out by human hunters, only to discover, like the European bison, that these species have somehow magically been reintroduced to the wild by the very humans who were supposed to have killed them, and they aren't really extinct after all. But in the case of the North American bison, those wild-eyed, brain-exploding, hair-on-fire environmentalists, they're absolutely right. Well, almost. The North American bison was almost completely wiped out by hunters in the 1800s. And I'm not proud to admit this, but my family had something to do with it. Well, it wasn't like it was my father or my grandfather or anything. It was 150 years ago. But bison were almost completely erased from the plains of North America by what they called industrial hunting practices by non-indigenous peoples. Read white men. And one of the ways that happened was a method called train hunting. Hunters would pay a fee, they'd ride on a railroad train, and when they would pass these vast herds of bison, the train would slow down to the speed of the herd, and the hunters would kill the bison by the hundreds per day. And what's my family got to do with it? Well, I'm a direct descendant of William Frederick Buffalo Bill Cody, or so the family legend goes, and he was the primary guide that the railroads hired to lead these expeditions. Needless to say, the Native American tribes that depended upon the bison for food and fur, didn't really care for the practice, and that caused even more battles between the indigenous and the non-indigenous peoples of the late 19th century. But the North American bison have made an amazing comeback, and now there are bison ranchers who raise them for commercial food distribution. That's where we get bison burgers and bison steaks. And yes, to answer your question, bison are also known as buffalo. But no, to answer your other question, buffalo wings are not really buffalo meat. Now, you might think that's silly, but believe it or not, a recent survey showed that almost 1 in 5 people really believe that buffalo wings are made of buffalo meat. So it is with a wary eye toward my wayward ancestors that the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show turns its attention to National Bison Day. And all of the great bison or buffalo meat dishes that we can cook up at home. Just don't call me Buffalo Randy, okay?
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
It's time now to visit again with an old friend of the show, Nick Castleberg. He's the chief cook and bottle washer out at the George Ranch Historical Park. Hey, Nick.
How you doing, Randy? Good to see you again.
And it's good to hear from you, too. Give us your official title.
Executive chef would be the official title, but I like the chief cook and bottle washer better.
So start out by explaining what the George Ranch Historical Park is for those who haven't heard you on the show before. What can visitors expect to find when they come out to see you?
If you're familiar with the Colonial Williamsburg kind of a setup, like a living history museum, we are set up for early Texas from the early 1820s Austin's colony right up through the 1950s. So we have four different sites, 1830s, 1860s, 1890s, and 1930s, where we have buildings and costumed staff that are out doing interpretations, and we'll tell you all about, you know, how they lived, clothing, furniture, building houses, and of course we come in and we tell the story of the foodways through all four of those generations. So I have about 100 years of playtime with different recipes and menus and things.
So today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is all about bison, because today is National Bison Day. Did bison roam on the plains of Texas, or was their normal habitat a little further north?
A little further north. The Dakotas were really the most famous area, and of course up there you had the Sioux. But it was a mainstay for a lot of the tribes all over the country. I mean, the buffalo roam north, south, east, west. The biggest herds were up in the Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming area, where, you know, most of the Sioux First Nation folks had survived on them for thousands and thousands of years.
So there were buffalo here in Texas, but just not as many.
Oh, yeah. Nowhere near as prevalent, no. In Texas, you had the descendants of the Spanish cattle that they'd brought over into South and Central America in the 1500s and had made the way up the land bridge into what is now Texas, what was then still northern Mexico. So when the early settlers get here, there's a lot more Spanish descendant. Of course, we know them as the Texas Longhorns now. There was a lot more of those than there were the native buffalo.
So back in the days of Stephen F. Austin, the old 300, that's the 300 original founding families of settlers that he brought to Texas, we would assume that they lived off the land.
Yes.
Did they eat bison meat as a staple in their diet?
You know, I'm sure if you'd come across one, you certainly wouldn't turn it down. I mean, a full-grown bull's about 2,000 pounds. Of course, that's undressed. That's on the heel. And then a cow can go anywhere from 800 to 1,000 pounds. So, you know, dressed out, that's quite a few hundred pounds of meat. So you certainly wouldn't miss the opportunity to put some bison in your larder, that's for sure.
The early Texas settlers cooked over an open flame, and we do a lot of that around here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. So what were the common cuts of meat they cooked and ate back in those days?
You know, that's one of the funny stories. Everybody thinks, and pictures, you know, cowboys sitting around the fire out on the cattle drive trail with a ribeye or a New York strip. It takes a tremendous amount of man hours, and it takes a certain set of skills to understand how the muscles are put together to break them down. It takes a certain amount of specialty tools, including bone saws, different size and shapes of knives to do different cutting. So there was a lot of science that went into, you know, those wonderful little steaks that we get in the cellophane wrapped styrofoam packet at one of the grocery stores. Someone had to butcher that animal and then break it down into the prime cuts that we all buy now. In the old days, there wasn't a lot of those tools available. So you dealt with larger cuts of meat, a ribeye steak, say. You know, the First Nation, they would just, first of all, the tongue and the heart would be the first things that would go on just about any animal that they killed, and then the liver and the kidneys, the brain. Very high in vitamin and nutrient. Venison and bison both are a very lean meat, and First Nation folks understood that you needed some fat in your diet. And, of course, all those organs have a good amount of fat in them as well. As minerals and whatnot. And then the animal itself would just be, you know, you can imagine several thousand years ago with just flint blades, there was only so much cutting that you could do. So most of it would have been chunks just grilled, and then a lot of it would have been stewed.
Well, we understand that you have a specific recipe for bison or buffalo stew. That sounds delicious. Give us all the details.
Well, we always do our stews. We start off our stews with a roux. And if there's any Aussies out there listening, when I say roux, I'm not referring to a kangaroo. I'm referring to the R-O-U-X, the classic French technique of taking a fat and a flour and basically cooking it into a paste. Cajuns are very familiar with it. It's the basis for a good gumbo or a good etouffee. So we always start off with a nice roux, and then we'll, in classic fashion, take our bison, cube it, and then dredge it in flour, salt and pepper, sear it just like you would a beef stew, and then throw it in a big pot. We go easy on the vegetables just because we're usually emulating a cattle drive, and they didn't have a lot of fresh vegetables in those wagons because they just didn't travel, you know, over the prairie for months at a time very well. So maybe a few potatoes, maybe a couple of skunk eggs or what we call skunk eggs. Most people would know them as onions. When you cut an onion, it makes your eyes water. If you've ever been sprayed in the face with a skunk, it too makes your eyes water, so ergo the term skunk egg. But we keep it very simple, just the meat, maybe a few potatoes, a couple of onions, a couple of bay leaves if you happen to have them floating around, a clove or two or garlic if it was available. You know, if you had a Hispanic cook, probably a good handful of dried chilies would end up in the stew as well. But we keep it very, very simple. We want people to really enjoy the rich flavor. I mean, beef has a good flavor, don't get me wrong, but buffalo has a flavor all on its own. It's very rich. It's very succulent. Even the stew meat, which is, again, very lean. So we'll cook that down, and then we add our roux. And usually we like, if we can get the bones, we'll roast the bones off and make a stock. If you can't get those, you know, just the regular boxed beef stock that you get in the grocery store is fine. And then you add your roux and, of course, bring it up to a boil. The roux will act as a tightening agent. But when it all comes together, the buffalo really shines through. And so I would like to caution anybody that's thinking about cooking bison, whether it be a ribeye, which is a beautiful, I think it's the best cut off the bison personally myself. The closer you are to the shoulder, the more marbleization you get in the meat, which is why ribeyes are so lovely. That's the first cut from behind the shoulder, you know, and then you get into your T-bones and then your porterhouses and then your sirloins all the way at the back closer to the rump. So ribeye is good. You want to be careful you don't overcook it. About 5 minutes each side. You definitely, you want to serve, if you grill a bison steak, you want to serve it within 5 minutes. Because as it sits, something about bison, it starts to lose its really succulent, rich, almost velvety texture and flavor, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Grill it, rest it 5 minutes, and serve it immediately. It's not something you want to leave laying around for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Unlike beef, and that's because it is such a lean meat. Now, the ribeye does have some fat. It's probably what I would say would be the fattiest cut of all the steaks off of the bison. Or sirloin, you know, grilling a bison sirloin, honestly, I wouldn't waste my time with it.
Tough?
It's tough. It's dry. It's going to be better for a stew meat, whereas the ribeye and a good T-bone, a bison T-bone, if you can find them, are good as well. But just remember, salt, pepper, maybe brush it with a little butter to help keep it moist as you're grilling it. 5 minutes each side, rest it 5 minutes, and serve it. Don't play around with it. Don't put a bunch of sauces and stuff on it. You really want to delve into that. And there's something almost primordial about eating bison. It's like you put it in your mouth, whether you've ever had it before or not. You put it in your mouth and you start chewing and these flavors pop out. And it's like there's a connection to your ancestry, you know, especially if you're, you know, from America and you have any Native American blood in you like I do.
Uh-huh.
It's a magical connection that happens. It's a beautiful cut of meat, highly underrated for many, many years. But now as people are starting to look for alternate sources of proteins that are leaner, I mean, I was in HEB the other day and they've got bison, you know, Kroger's got bison, and almost every store you go to now has buffalo. Whereas if you'd gone in 10 years ago and asked for a buffalo steak, they'd have looked like you were crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see that. There's a lot of people that are now raising buffalo in sustainable fashion. So buffalo's readily available. And again, I highly encourage people to get it if you love to grill and you've never grilled a bison steak. I mean, it is the quintessential kind of outdoorsy, chuck wagon-y, cowboyish kind of steak to grill, as far as I'm concerned.
This has been our old friend Nick Castleberg of the George Ranch Historical Park. Always a pleasure to visit with you, hear the colorful stories about early Texas, and we especially appreciate your insights into cooking bison or buffalo meat on this National Bison Day. Thanks, Nick. Let's talk again soon, shall we?
Well, look forward to it, Randy. You guys take care. Enjoy your Saturday, my friend.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old plane right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Well, it's always fun to talk to our good friend Marcus Poffenberger over at Belleville Meat Market, and informative, I might add. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing great, Randy. How you doing today?
Doing good. You guys are not busy with hunting season or anything, are you?
We're already starting to be in the thick of it. Yeah, definitely. Rifle season starts this weekend, and youth season started last weekend on Saturday, which actually kind of marks the beginning of our busy season because the youth season has gotten to be very popular. And new place over there is going well, and we're starting to get into the rhythm of it for the year.
Well, for those of you who are not aware, our Belleville Meat Market is a whole lot more than just a destination butcher shop. Finest selection of fresh meat products I have ever seen. But they're also the best place to take your wild game for processing. So tell us about your processing center.
We built a new processing center last year. We were processing here in the main meat market, which most people are familiar with. That's where everybody shops, and we do the over-the-counter sales and the barbecue sales over here. We kind of outgrew the back part of this building, and we built a new building behind us. It gives us about four times as much room as we had before, and we make all the smoked products that get sold in our market get made across the street over there in the processing center. We moved all our smokehouses over there. All the deer processing get dropped off and picked up over there, and it kind of helps with the traffic. We used to have a big traffic jam over here, people trying to pick up and drop off in the main meat market area. But our new facility offers a separation from that to give customers a lot more convenient way to pull off the highway and drop off and pick up. And we're able to take a little bit more time with our customers, too, because we're not trying to rush them in and out like we were before when we were jammed with space. But yeah, our new facility is really working out well for us.
And we should emphasize Belleville Meat Market processes a whole lot more than just venison. What are some of the other kinds of wild game you guys process?
We process pretty much everything. We do all the exotics also, from gemsbuck and oryx, and there's a lot of different animals that are raised in Texas that we get that aren't, you know, whitetails. You get the axis and the nail guys. Recently, we've been getting a lot of elk, and we've had a really good September and October with our elk season. We also do some rare things. From time to time, we get bears and zebras, and actually had a guy want to process a cougar this year. We did one of those. We also do buffalo or bison, which I think is the key to what you're wanting to talk about today.
Yeah, we'll do that in just a minute. What's the most unusual game that somebody's brought to you?
For me, the most unusual has been the cougars, which is rare for me. I mean, we get about one a year, and it's just amazing. I didn't know that people really would eat them. The meat is, it looks good, smells good. I haven't tried it, but it seems different to eat a large cat. But the customers love them, and the guys who brought them in said that they make excellent sausage or ground meat or anything, and they really enjoy them. But it just seems rare for me to have somebody want to eat one. But I could see the nostalgia of wanting to go hunt it, but not necessarily eat it. But the customers love them. They say they taste great.
That's an eat or be eaten.
That is what that is. It's a hunt on many different levels.
Yeah, well, the last time you were on the show, Marcus, we were talking about getting hunters prepared for rifle season, and you told us briefly about a world-class hunt you took in Alaska for caribou, but I have since found out that you didn't stay in a nice, warm, comfortable hunting lodge up there. You were outside in the cold, right?
Yes, it's the second year I've been to Alaska with a good buddy of mine, and we have a pilot that brings us in, but we are responsible for our entire camp, bringing all our own food in, staying warm and staying alive, and we try to cook a couple square meals a day out there in the woods or on the mountaintop, which was caribou. And it's pretty much just a survival trip. We had a heck of a time. We survived off some Belleville Meat Market sausage and red beans and rice until we were able to drop a caribou. I think we got both of ours on, I believe it was day five. Got some really good ones. My buddy shot a huge caribou. Mine was decent. It was a good caribou. I was happy with him. He was very close to camp when I shot him, which is always a big plus. It was a good trip, really good trip.
But from my time in the Army, Marcus, I learned when you're out in that situation, sometimes the hunter becomes the hunted.
True.
We're talking about cougars. There are a lot of predators in the wilds of Alaska. Did you encounter a bear or anything like that?
We did. We encountered some grizzlies. We actually had one kind of halfway stalk us. We were working up a river drainage, and we saw a grizzly up on the mountain. He was probably 600 yards away. So we kept walking up the river, and we look back, and then we don't see the bear on the mountain anymore. We're like, this, okay. So we kept glassing, trying to find the bear. And then we finally found him. He was down the mountain, and he was walking up our way. He was about 400 yards from us this time. And every time he would stop walking, he would look up and stare straight at us.
Uh-oh.
My buddy was actually, he was in charge of the safety on our trip. My wife actually put him in charge of the decisions to make when the bears chase us, because I tend to get a little bit excited and, you know, want to go chase them. The bear was kept crawling towards us, and you know, my buddy said, you know, he made up 200 yards real quick. He said, if he goes away and he pops up again, it's going to be at 150, 200 yards away. So we decided to leave the area very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw a few other bears. Most of the time they were skittish. They weren't too interested in us. It was a neat trip. We got to see a lot of wildlife.
It's National Bison Day. So today on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, we're discussing the finer points of buffalo meat, which has become quite popular in the last few years. Do you guys carry bison or buffalo meat at Belleville Meat Market?
We do not sell it at the meat market at this time. We have before. We can get it on order. If somebody really wants some, we can definitely order it up and have it for them. But not this time. We don't have it over the counter. Definitely something we can do, though.
Marcus, you are the essence of a professionally trained butcher. You have a lifetime of experience in meat science. So explain to us the difference in processing a bison or a buffalo versus beef cattle.
Yeah, the bison, when you have one on the hook, you can tell it's definitely a bison because of the size of the rib cage and the hump. But as far as the bison itself has a lot bigger bone structure than beef. So when you finish your cuts off of bison as opposed to a beef, you're not going to get the same yield as far as steak size goes. But you do definitely get all the same steaks and the same cuts and the same roast that you can off beef. Your rounds off a buffalo or a bison are a lot smaller than you would think. The impressive part of a bison is the front side of them, the shoulder. The chuck itself, which is the hump all the way down pretty much into the beginning of the front arm, it's about twice the size of any similar size cow. So what you would get off that, you would get a lot more chuck roast, chuck steaks. You can even do some very large, like country-style ribs off of them, which would be massive. But the chuck is kind of the most impressive part of a bison compared to the beef. Now, as far as the ribs, the rib eyes and the T-bones and all that go, the bisons do not yield a really good T-bone. The problem with those is that the meat, once it gets towards the back end of the animal, flattens out really, really thin. So whereas like on a beef New York strip, it would be thick and plump if you were to cut the New York strip off the bone. On a bison, it's real thin and real long. Still a great steak. It's just different in size and different in shape. Most people don't cut T-bones off of bison because the fact that the bone structure is so large and the meat ratio to it is so small, it's a real awkward looking T-bone to have on a plate. So most people would do the New York strips and the fillets and separate those off from the bone. The sirloin on a bison is a really good steak. It's very long compared to a beef sirloin. You can get a lot more sirloins off of bison than you can off of beef. It's a really impressive animal.
If there's anything we've learned on this show this week, it's that bison or buffalo meat is a lot leaner than beef. So how does that impact the cooking techniques for buffalo burgers or buffalo steaks or buffalo stew?
Cooking techniques go, yes, it's definitely a lot leaner, and it's not something you want to overcook. Beef, you can get beef well done and still be somewhat tender and somewhat, you know, flavorful. Bison meat, I like to treat it like I do wild game because that's really what it is. I like to undercook it a little bit, maybe cook it, medium rare at the most, and that'll keep it from getting dried out. It'll keep it from losing the flavor and from getting tough. But definitely, you want to undercook bison compared to your beef.
I told you this would be informative, didn't I? Marcus Poffenberger, he owns and operates the iconic Belleville Meat Market just 15 minutes south of Hempstead, 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. So if you've got a hunting lease out west and you're headed back, it's the perfect place to stop and have your trophy processed. What's your website, Marcus?
You can go to our website. It's BellevilleMeatMarket.com. That's BellevilleMeatMarket.com. Or you can give us a call at 979-865-5782.
We appreciate your time, Marcus. Watch out for them bears. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Will do. Good talking to you.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Say hello to Sammy Ballerin of Sammy's Wild Game Grill on Washington. Welcome back, Sammy.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
For those of you who did not hear our interview with Sammy back in August, we want to give you a quick rundown on Sammy's background. Sammy, how did you get started in the restaurant industry, and how did you wind up in Houston?
So, you know, my family had a restaurant growing up in Spain, and I grew up pretty much, you know, working in the restaurant with the family and helping out in the kitchen, waiting tables, and everything else that needed to be done. And it was kind of something that I've been doing for a long time, and I've kept on doing it since I felt a passion for it. So
now, you grew up in the European area. Did you work in European restaurants before you came to the United States?
Well, growing up in Spain, in the Canary Islands, I just worked at my dad's restaurant for a few years, and then I moved to Houston in 97.
Well, give us a quick rundown of some of the places you worked before you opened up Sammy's Wild Game Grill.
So, you know, I started, worked at Texas Land and Cattle, which is a restaurant, there's plenty of those here in Texas. Done Papacito's, which is a good training ground for anybody that's been in the restaurant industry. They probably know that if you've worked at Papacito's or any of the Papa's restaurants, it's a good way to train yourself and have some good skills. I've worked at Fogo de Chao, which is a Brazilian churrascaria steakhouse, which they, you know, they carve the meats tableside, and it's all you can eat meat extravaganza. I've also worked at America's Restaurant, which is South American Latin cuisine, and I worked there for 4 or 5 years. You know, that's more of a fine dining restaurant where they do a lot of steaks and seafood and all fine dining.
So your website for Sammy's Wild Game Grill emphasizes that all the meat you serve comes from animals that are raised in a free-range, all-natural environment, no hormones or antibiotics or preservatives. So where do you get such meat?
Throughout the years, I've done my research and found a bunch of local ranches here in Texas that provide some of these meats. Of course, not all of them. I can find them here in Texas since some of the animals I serve at the restaurant are not native to Texas and hard to find a ranch that raises them here. But we do serve some Nilgai antelope, which we get from Broken Arrow Ranch out in the hill country here in Texas. We also do water buffalo, which we get from Wild Rose Ranch. They're located down in Blessing, Texas, close to Corpus area. And you know, then we source other meats from other states like emu, which we get from Tennessee. Then we get other meats which are from outside the U.S. like camel, kangaroo, python, snake. You know, we do so many different meats that they come from all around. But we try to do as much local as possible, support the Texas ranches as much as we can.
So what inspired Sammy's Wild Game Grill in the first place?
I've been, you know, working in restaurants for so many years, and my wife has always been bugging me about, you need to start your own restaurant, and you're really good at it, and you know how to cook, and you know your stuff when it comes to running a restaurant. So she pushed me, and finally I found a really good niche that I thought would work really well here in Houston, which was the Wild Game Eatery. And so, you know, I started finding some places where I could find some of these meats, and started cooking them up at the house and inviting some friends over and letting them try it. And they'll give you their honest opinion about if the food is good or not. So we did some testing, and everybody seemed to like the food. And I just said, why not? Let's give it a try. And Houston is a really diverse city and very big, where a lot of people here are willing to try something different. And we've been in business for over 6 years now, so it's been a good ride. So
Sammy's Wild Game Grill features lots of exotics like yak and elk and antelope and kangaroo. I think we talked about that the last time you were on the show, but also camel, of all things. Tell us about camel meat. What does it taste like?
So camel, it's not as gamey as some of the other meats like venison or elk. It does have a little more fat content than buffalo or some of the other game meats. But I like that because a lot of people like a little bit of juiciness in their meat from the fat. But it's a mild flavor, kind of like beef, but with a richer taste, maybe a sweeter, richer taste to it. And we get our camel from Australia, actually. Australia has a big problem with feral camels. They're now trying to cut that problem down by hunting them and then selling them all around the world. We're helping them out and trying to reduce those numbers of feral camels out there. Seems they brought them out there back in the day when they were building the railroads, and I guess after they finished, they just let them loose and didn't think much about it. And It's a very big animal with no predator out there, so it's been reproducing like crazy, and now they have a problem kind of like what we do here with the wild hogs. So.
Today is National Bison Day, and that's why we wanted to have Sammy back on the show so soon. Sammy's Wild Game Grill serves something that we've never heard of before. It's bison, or buffalo, hot dogs. Now, Sammy, I've looked in the meat aisle at the grocery store. They don't sell buffalo wieners. So where do you get them?
So we have a company that does a really good job at making sausages, and we purchase all our sausages from them. They do all kinds of different combinations from buffalo with chipotle to pheasant with cognac, venison with red wine and blueberries, duck with apple brandy, elk with apple and pear, wild boar with tequila, lime, jalapeno.
My goodness.
Rabbit. So they do all kinds of wild game sausages, and we've been serving up sausage hot dogs at our restaurant for all these years, and we serve them on a soft pretzel bun, and then customers get to pick their toppings and their sauce on the hot dog, so they kind of build their own hot dog the way they like it.
So how do you prepare a buffalo hot dog? Do you grill it or what?
Yeah, so we grill it on a char grill and put it on a warm, soft pretzel bun, and people have a variety of toppings and sauces that they can choose to top their hot dog with.
Are there any special tips or tricks you can give us for grilling buffalo hot dogs versus beef hot dog?
I mean, you would cook it pretty much the same way. Just don't overcook it, I guess. And now, these are more like rat sausages and not wieners, so it's, you know, a little different.
Sammy's Wild Game Grill serves all their wild game specialties as either hot dogs or burgers or sandwiches, so none of you will be surprised that they offer buffalo burgers. But Sammy took it one step further, water buffalo burgers. What's the difference between a North American buffalo and a water buffalo?
So I've tried both of them side by side, and I have to say that I like the water buffalo a little bit better. I think it's got a little bit of a richer taste to it. And it does have maybe a little bit more fat, I think, than the bison, which brings the flavor to the meat. And of course, I've decided to do the water buffalo instead of the bison because I found a local ranch here in Texas that provides us the meat and brings us meat every week. And really nice family from Yellow Rose Ranch. And we like to support local families and their businesses here in Texas. And we've been serving their water buffalo for probably over 4 or 5 years now.
And this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, so tell us how you do it. How do you cook your water buffalo burger at Sammy's Wild Game Grill?
So we get the ground water buffalo, and we mix it up with some salt, pepper, and garlic powder. And then we form our patties and cook them on a flat griddle. Put them on a soft pretzel bun and served up with the typical toppings that you do on a burger, lettuce, onion, tomato, pickles, some cheddar cheese. And we have some specialty homemade sauces that we let a customer pick whichever they like for their burger.
It's been great to visit again with Sammy Ballerin of Sammy's Wild Game Grill at 3715 Washington. They are open Monday through Sunday, 11 to 10. What's your website, Sammy?
Our website is sammyswildgamegrill.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thanks again for your time and for your expertise, Sammy. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
Thanks so much for having me on the show again. It's a pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.